Sounds good, or sounds great, or sounds passable.
Sounds like it always does.
Oh, Jesus. So terrible.
Well, at least it's there.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 89th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for October 2018. In this episode, we wrap up the Starfall campaign and do lots and lots of shoutouts. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. Now on to the episode. Welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast, number 89. It's October, it's cold. I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And we're here doing a show. And there's some news, and there's some shout-outs. And we're going to recap the Dead Zone summer campaign.
Can you dial down the enthusiasm just a little bit? It's infectious. You're causing a bit of a stir.
Yes. I told you it was cold. Also, we lost, if you haven't heard, we lost team building exercise, the Elite Veerman. Elite Veerman? Yeah. No, New Veerman, not Elite Veerman. The New Veerman from Outbreak. And I'm still in mourning, Jack.
Oh, you've brought it down a bit for the sake of respect for the fallen. Okay.
That's right. By the time you hear this, we'll have done the DZTV. It's going to be a live re-recording of that episode. We'll also put it out as the regular team building exercise episode so that it's in the regular format. And I think Coach is going to do it on his regular format just so it's acts like a regular episode too if you're just looking for the whole series. But yeah, we'll have done that and hopefully it will have worked. But we're in the past and that is the future. But it's your past. Yeah.
So you're going to get yourself a very solemn Dead Zone the Podcast until we can have ourselves a bit of a wake. We're going to have a little bit of an Irish wake, redo team building exercise in the style that you're accustomed to getting, and then we'll be all right.
Yeah, we'll reset ourselves. Hopefully, we won't have that kind of issue ever again. Because yeah, it nearly broke us.
It hurts.
It was close. But on happier news, we do have a big shout out right off the bat. It's actually for a tournament. It's for our friend Ben Edwards and the Frantic Podcast, Frantic Gamers Podcast. They're doing a convention called Franticon. It's going to be in March 23rd to 24th, 2019. So it's a little ways off, but it's we're talking about it because you can get in on some early bird deals. We'll get to. It is in London, UK, but it's going to be fun, I think. It's at Shepherd's Bush Megastore. Dark Sphere Shepherd's Bush Megastore. Dark Sphere. Not sphere as in spheres, but a sphere as in round things.
Yes. Yes.
And if you listen to their latest podcast, they go over everything about starting a tournament, but also their trials and tribulations and how they're going. So it was a really good episode. But they do have early bird specials. You can get if you sign up by November 30th, you can get either a new Dreadball team, a Warpath vehicle, or a Dead Zone starter set, which is pretty awesome. And all the details. Yep.
Pretty sweet just for walking in the door.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So get in on that early bird. There's lots of prizes to be won. Ben's really good at getting prize support too. So you'll have a lot of that stuff. The link to their tourney pack will be in the show notes. You can also find them on Facebook. Please, if you're in the England area, go support these guys. Hopefully it'll turn into one of the biggest privately run tournaments. They do have Mantic. Mantic's going to be there running demos and stuff. So it is a Mantic tournament or Mantic convention, I guess. So it's going to be fun. Good for those guys.
Yeah, that's a little mini convention with Mantic right on board. And Ben does everything right anyways. We know. We've talked to him quite a bit, and we already know he's already got himself a pedigree. He's already done one full tournament that we really thought should be the blueprint for running, making tournaments, and you know what? He's got my favorite Dead Zone based podcast. So
it's true. It's the only one you should be listening to, frankly. They don't just do Dead Zone. They do everything. It's like the old Mantic Radio from the guys who do Countercharge, but they do everything. And, but they actually play all the games so that they're knowledgeable and it's really fun.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So that's the, shout out to the tournament coming up. And it's in a while away, but like I say, get in there by November 30th to get that free stuff, which is awesome. Also in the news is that the old Marauder Raptor is back in store at Mantic. Remember the Raptor, Jack? We used to get, and every time we got a crazy box, we used to get like five of these things.
I know I've painted one. You've painted, I don't know how many, and we've got
I'm
some.
Looking at two that, yeah, I'm looking at two that I've painted right beside me, but, I might have actually done more. Yeah, so they're back. Yeah, Jack, you still have some laying around that you haven't put together?
Yes, because as of right now, they're not in Dead Zone. And the one I did was for Scattered Terrain. Yeah. So, like, unless you're, you know, having a conflict in a used vehicle compound of some sort, and you only need so many.
Yeah, we used to show them off on our boards. We just haven't put them on there in a while. But, for it's, £10 or $18, I wonder if it's still going to be in the old rustic or is it going to be doing them in resin? That's the question.
I don't know.
Probably, hopefully they just found a box. I think what happened is they just found in the back of their warehouse, they found a giant box and they're like, what is this? Oh, I remember these things. Yeah, put them on the store.
Crazy Bobby's having a rave out. He's just going ape in the place and all of a sudden it spills over and raptors go across the floor.
Yeah.
That's our working theory anyways.
Yeah. And there's some great shots of these things from Next Level Painting that Mantic put up on their site. And I really like the weathering and stuff they've done on these ones. It's really cool. So this is what you could do with them. There is the four-wheel version, but they must not have found a box of those, because those are the ones that are more needed, because we never got any of those. But like I say, we have a lot of these ones. So, but if you don't, now you can. Pretty good price. They're pretty good size. I'd say they're about the same length as the GCPS mule, but in a trike form.
Yeah, and the driver's kind of it's got the rockets on the top and the driver clinging on there. And
well, I think he's just the gunner. The driver, there's a little windshield in the front. I think the driver's actually on the inside.
Oh, okay. So the gunner. Anyways, it's a nice little kit if you're just looking for something to. I don't know if they're gonna ever be for Dead Zone or. No, if there are in Firefight, but
yeah, I think they're in Firefight, but they hate putting this kind of cool stuff in Dead Zone. So they don't put vehicles in Dead Zone other than Striders. So anything like this, we don't get the fun toys. They always leave that for the Warpath people.
Oh well, Dead Zone's gotten quite a bit of love lately, so you know.
Well, I don't think we have rules for these because I don't think they were even on our radar when we were making the vehicle rules, but we'll maybe have to put that in the, make up some rules for these guys.
Yeah.
And that's about it for the news, but we do want to go on to, important things, which is the campaign wrap up. Jack, we played a few games, but we didn't get to play as much as we would have liked, I think.
No, I think we waited. Our strategy was to wait until everyone had already, I think we waited until about the midway point when everyone was kind of dying off and all the fervor, you know, everyone jumps on everything right away. You remember when Outbreak comes out and all of a sudden there's this flood of information, and fine. That's fine. If you want to do that, we waited about 3 weeks. So we did, I think it was three battle reports, and we were hoping on last week to do the rest of them. It just never happened.
Yeah, it was, like they said, it was a little late in the summer, so it went into fall, and that really screwed everybody up. But, they did have almost 1,500 games played, which is awesome. So that's nice to see that there's that many games being played. I'm sure like 90% of them were like one guy, but still.
I saw enough battle reports. I was reading through it like it was almost a novel at one point. It was, the site, I cannot stress enough how nice it was, the layout of the site, everything. I'm not even going to I'll butcher the name if I try to, but I know who's responsible. And I was just flipping through battle reports, and it was just so nice. The all the wealth of information, all the different styles people were putting up battle reports in a different way. Even as an outsider, you could sit and enjoy being involved with it.
Yes, it was. It's great. They need to do. They keep this person on. It's Kieran Morris, I think. Kieran Morris, I believe is his name. So yes, Mr. Morris, he did a great job on the site. And he was doing updates too, which is great, telling everybody how it was going. And, Mantic did put up a blog detailing all this, but we'll go through it all. It was the most successful online campaign ever for Mantic, which means it was bigger than Kings of War, which I like to hear. Because screw those fantasy guys.
Ooh. Ouch.
But,
right now, our friends Rob Panuff and Mark Zielinski, they just got a cold chill. Like, oh, we've just been backstabbed.
Yeah. We didn't say screw those guys, did we? Oh, I guess it did. I say he is part of the fantasy guys. Yeah, that's true. So the Nameless, this whole thing was about the Nameless and about what their future will be. And they didn't win overall Starfall, but they came really close, it seems. And so expect these guys to become more aggressive and expansionistic in the future. And other powerful Nameless creatures will be drawn to their banner. So implying that there's going to be a further expansion to these Nameless guys, obviously. But it's nice to get a narrative reason why.
Exactly.
The overall planet control winners were the Plague. And the Plague came on like hotcakes. And people are saying, oh, it's because they're in the starter sets and they're one of the originals. But the Enforcers got destroyed. So obviously something's there. Either the Enforcers are that bad or there's that a lot of Plague players out there. And it says new strains are likely to appear, which will create new victims of this awful blight, which, once again, new plague coming out from this. It's nice seeing the plague get some love, but hopefully some of the other races do get love. And the best overall faction was a GCPS, another surprise to me. I'm amazed GCPS did this well.
I'm not. I think they're a pretty solid, pretty universally liked. I think anyone who wanted to play humans would go with the GCPS. Like, I don't know. I don't have all the numbers, and I'm no scientist. I don't have a lab coat, so I wouldn't be able to translate the results into like whys and hows. But if I was playing the humans, would it be the Enforcers?
Well, especially since the Enforcers are terrible compared to the GCPS. Like, GCPS as a faction is a much more rounded faction. The Enforcers are just weak as hell now. They got nothing. But the GCPS, they said that perhaps they could do with a little more scientific advice from people like the Maison Labs. So that means maybe they'll, it'd be interesting to see. I don't know if they should do that. Maison's gotta be separate, but, maybe they'll add some more, variety to their, weaponry and stuff like that. They already have the most variety of that kind of stuff, though. That's why the GCPS works. You could pretty much play them any way you want. They have good hand-to-hand, they have good sniping, they have good like they have striders, so they still have the power. I don't think anybody actually uses striders at GCPS, but
there's the heavy weapons teams that people have started to that's the faction that the heavy weapons team, I think, comes into its own. But they've also got a lot of trickery in the splats, and they've got there's diversity there that if you really want to play people and cheat people too, so you can play around. It's not the same as the Enforcers with the costs and if you're playing Enforcers, you're probably going Pathfinder heavy. That gets old. So.
And they did say they're going to do a deep dive on the data to see any trends or weaknesses for each faction. So hopefully in the next book next year, they'll have some, little changes. I guess everybody's going to get some new stuff. So maybe and hopefully they do some, little tweaking on some of the weaker factions. Cause some of these factions got no, Like, I think Maison was near the bottom, but I think a lot of people aren't playing Maison. That's a new faction, so that makes sense. Nameless, they were like the new hotness, so they got played a lot. But yeah. I think the Rebs and the Forge Fathers and the Enforcers, they, even the Marauders, I expect the Marauders to do a lot better. They may have been nerfed too much in Outbreak, but all those ones, they all got beat pretty badly by these top three teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's hard to say. We'll see when the data comes out. I can only speculate.
Yeah. It could be just people aren't playing certain races too. It could be too.
Yeah. Cause when I think of Dead Zone or Mantic in general with in the sci-fi range the plague is the what I think of because of the models and because of that's kind of the first narrative when we came in. Oh no, the plague's here.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I can see why the Nameless kind of take that over. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm just happy to see the plague not letting the Nameless steal their thunder. And they came in and kicked some butt.
They're the OG, original Griblies.
Yeah. But what does this all mean? It means for Command Protocols 2019, whatever the book will be called, they're going to have the Balance of the Mercenaries to ensure they're tournament ready, which good luck with that. But the problem is with the mercenaries is most of them are really weak, and then the ones that aren't weak are way too powerful. Like, there's no happy middle ground with the mercenaries.
Well, you say good luck, but my pal Coach, who is near and dear to my heart, and Coach.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's never let me down. He's never, he's a straight shooter, for better or for worse. When he says something, he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And he says that the mercs are being, after all of my whining and crying and gnashing of teeth and swallowing of my jewelry and rendering of my clothing, he says they are, well underway. So who am I to say?
Yep. Hopefully they get it right this time. they're also going to expand on the weather rules. That was a cool part of Starfall.
You're a Debbie Downer. Are you still the loss of the Veerman TBE? Is that hurt you that much that you even you question our good friend, our someone who we've known for years that he's going to do it right?
I've wished him luck. What more can I do?
Okay.
Also, they said it's going to introduce at least one new unit for every faction. So that's cool. I can't wait that. And other secrets. Who knows what else they have planned. But I like the idea for what one new unit for every faction with the models. That'd be really nice.
Once a month. Yeah, just like, okay, January is
Enforcer. Well, this is going to be all Command Protocols 2019. So I assume it's going to be all in the summer when the book comes out, just like they were supposed to do with the Nameless. It was supposed to all come out at once. Let's just hope they plan to head a bit more this time and to have these miniatures already in the pipeline from China, because if not, we won't be seeing this for Command Protocols 2019. We might see it for 2020, these new units, but they've been having a lot of issues with their Chinese production currently, so yeah, not to be a Debbie Downer.
No. The facts are the facts. We're still waiting on the phase two of the Nameless. This is
which was phase two of Star Saga was pushed back a month, so that won't be until November. And Hellboy was just announced to be pushed back until I think they said March, so it means April 2019 from January. So that most happy about either of that either. So.
Yeah, we're not complaining or whining or crying, but it's factual that perhaps China's not able to. Well, it is not as reliable as.
I think you can only blame China for so long before it's your own fault for not planning it better, right?
Well, if every time you see me, I kick you in the shins and you keep inviting me over.
Exactly. Well, obviously they have to go to China to make their stuff. That's just obvious. But just plan for this ahead. Like, make sure. I don't know. I don't know what the actual issues are with the production. Like, why did some other person come in and just kick them to the back of the line or what? But it seems to me that this happens every single time. And either, like, in your Kickstarter say that it's going to be a lot later, give yourself a lot more time. And then if it is done early, bring it early, like they did with Vanguard. It came about a couple weeks early at least. So maybe that kind of thing. But anyways, that's just off topic a bit.
A little bit.
They did say with a fantastic response to Starfall, they're planning next year's campaign, and based on feedback, it'll be shorter, which is good and bad. Shorter is better just to keep everybody's interest, I think. Yes. But also earlier in the year, they're thinking more July, which would be perfect. You want to have it right in the middle of the summer.
When your kids are home, you can, I view it as like a full family affair where you want to go out, you know, and take your kid out to do this. And you want to be able to, you know, a working stiff like me, you know, you're getting out to the game shop or getting, it's not a big deal, but I like to think that, you know,
well, people tend to have more time off in the summer, too. So,
right.
They also said that the next campaign will be more focused on the prospect of corporations and factions trying to earn profit or cause unrest in the GCPS. So it's not just about one planet. It's going to be about multiple planets, which would be – I think that's a lot more like the Kings of War campaign where it'll actually change the lines of where people are. And that's kind of fun. Like, I like the bigger scope. Like, really, okay, the one planet. Starfall got plagued out. Who cares? We never heard of Starfall before this started, so. But if all of a sudden, you know, like, the Marauder homeworld is threatened from this, you know, or something like that, that might change a lot more people playing, too. It might give you something to play for a little bit more.
So you're saying the stakes weren't high enough? Like, what if the fluff had said this peaceful planet of Starfall was filled with a near utopia, like a Star Trek Next Generation where, you know, everyone was living peacefully. Like, would you need that to really get the, or are you still?
I think it's still just one planet. Like, I think it's the idea okay. of the scale. I don't care if it's filled with a bunch of puppies. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Okay, it's, now you've too far.
It's the fact that it was just one planet. That doesn't really hurt the Forge Fathers. Would they care, really? Oh, they just didn't get the chance to steal some stuff. Or, so, you know, like, really, it didn't, I don't think, other than for the Nameless, I guess this was the only people who actually cared too much about this whole situation, and the GCPS and enforcers to kick them off. But for a lot of the other factions, I think there was nothing really to fight for. It's just fighting over the same dead zone as you're always fighting over, right? So if it had the scope bigger, maybe it would be more to fight for. You might get more people playing different factions because you don't want to see something happen to. Like, a lot of this was, oh, I'm playing this faction because I think it's fun. Not necessarily, like, I played Marauders just because I wanted to try them out. If there was something like threatening somebody I care about, like the Assyrians or something, I'd probably play them to make sure that my results would help them out more. As it was like, I don't really care if the Marauders are just there to steal stuff anyways. And, you know, Asterians had no real reason to be in there. They literally had no reason to be there. So.
I don't know. They just act on behest of a spooky ethereal, overlord. So who knows? You just can't comprehend, Rob.
That's true. I don't understand. But the website for Starfall is still going to be up for a while, they said. So you could continue to submit hobby projects and share tips. And I think it is a great resource, and I hope they do keep it up. They said that it would stay up, but now maybe they're looking at hosting costs, and they're like, why should we bother keeping this going? But we'll see. Hopefully it's one of those things, like they have that Warpath site that they do nothing with. Just port this all over there, or just link from that to this. Like, that's all they have to do. Because this has way more information on it than that Warpath site ever had, and they're still paying for that thing. That's just my two cents.
Yeah.
So that's about it for the campaign. We are excited for the next one. I'm excited for the new units. I'm excited for a new book next year, and I'm glad it was successful. I think I was a little feared when it started that there'd be like 10 people playing, and they'd find out that actually nobody does play Dead Zone. It's just us. So. It's just the people you hear from.
Yeah, we would learn our place in history and in the gaming world when five people played. Let's look at those names. They're the ones. Okay, we talked to them. Yeah, we talked to them. Oh no, we're mere specs. No one cares.
Yeah, but 1,500 reports. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
we're gonna take a short break. We'll have a musical interlude, and we'll come back with I think a little unboxing. Stuff we haven't talked about yet.
Nice. Thank you.
Hey, this is Pat Lewis, North American Community Manager for Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast. And that was the best commercial I've heard in a long time. It really made me think. And you should, what?
It was just dulcet tones. It wasn't even a commercial.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a little while since we recorded, and I slipped back in to say like a 2016 Dead Zone the podcast.
No, that's so long ago. we're doing unboxings. These are unboxings we did a while ago, but I wanted to talk about them because we never talked about it.
Yes.
This is some of the Metal Mayhem or whatever they were doing, Metal Madness that Mantic had, a lot of their old sculpts that they were putting out in metal. And we picked up a bunch, and I want to talk about them. The first one is the strangest one. It's the one we really are still fighting over what it is. It's the Mortis. Mortis? Is that his name?
Yes? Yes. I think. I don't know. You delivered a baggie of parts, and yeah. I did ask. I was asking. I asked Coach. I asked Pat. Community Pat, our beloved Community Pat.
And they had a little fight about what it was, actually.
Yes. So it's still kind of up in the air as to what he may or may not have been, his origins and or his future.
I guess he's technically a zombie of some sort. He's a zombie master. I think it was I think he was in the original Project Pandora, one of those things. But his body is 100% a Veerman body.
Yes. His legs are 100% Veerman.
He's a Veerman body without a tail.
Yes. And then it goes up to a kind of a corpulent, like, midsection, which looks kind of like it's definitely what he's a hybrid of some sort.
But he is masked. He's got like some kind of face mask on, right? And he's got some kind of scythe and a gun.
Yes. He does come with a tiny little head. With a unicorn horn on there, but to be quite frank, I didn't care for that head. So the one I have now assembled has a Burster's face. So a very rare model that we still don't even know what it is. I've already defiled. You know, that's just me. That's how I roll.
Yeah, that's what I expect when I send stuff to Jack.
Yeah,
he's the defiler.
I am. That is, if there was a tagline to, and I'm Jack, and it would colon the defiler.
That's true. What do you think about the miniature? It's a metal, old metal sculpt from a, terrible mold, I think. These molds are really old, so I think they're not the best. How do you find the details and everything? Did it work out all right?
The details were fine. I'm not going to complain at all. It's got, it does look dated by what Mantic puts out now, but it's not a terrible miniature by any stretch of the imagination. It's just the arm that had the scythe, the socket didn't. I ended up putting a pauldron on there that I got from Puppets War because it just didn't fit that well. It has all the downsides and the bonuses of a metal miniature.
Yeah. Metal is the worst to work with, especially when you try to get stuff to bond to each other.
Yeah, so it is what it is, and as a throwback, they make the miniature. People have it, so why not have it in the game as something?
Yeah, and you also got a original progenitor, I think it was, and his body is the exact same as Mortis, like other than he has a tail. Like, it's exact same, right? Like, you look at the two pictures and I can't see any differences.
The legs are, basically the same. Like, everything is very much Veerman, which brought us to question Mortis's, since he's masked, what his, but again, it's probably, sculpted out of, like, necessity to be able to produce more than just, just to produce more in-house. They reused the sculpt. That's fine.
Yeah. And, this one, I really like the head on this guy and his big chunky arms, I think he's a cooler looking progenitor from than the ones you get nowadays. Even
if you were building a Veerman strike force and you wanted a captain, or if you say you want a Tangle but you want to make your own and you need someone to ride on top, like it's Veermany as a new word that I've just created now. It's efficiently Veermany.
Veermany. And then we have the dwarf. He's a, I think he's a Brocker sergeant or something like that. He's got like a chain gun, two like chain gun pistols, and he's got a big hammer that goes on his back. And actually, painted this guy up a bit, and I'll show off pictures of that. And, he's pretty cool. I liked him. I like his character. Like he's pretty good characterful model with the two guns and the big hammer. And, I think he's smoking a stogie. So, yeah, I like that character a lot. That's one of the other two I got because I thought, well, these are different. And Jack likes rats, so Miles is going to get a rat. I think you have all the rats now, so we have to keep collecting rats. And the Mortis character was just so weird. But this guy I liked because of the actual model. So that's why I picked him up. And, yeah, he's a dwarf. And we can never have enough of the dwarf-like leaders. So I also picked up an Edic Pamir, the crossbow-wielding Yindish. And I haven't painted him yet, but he's pretty good. He had a lot of flash on him. Like I had to like rebuild his crossbow pretty much from so much flash on him.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture now and, there's quite a bit. I did not have that problem with Mortis.
Yeah, I don't think the dwarf either.
It's clean.
This, his crossbow is very delicate. So it's almost better. There was so much flash. It was keeping it in one piece. And I do love his tail because his tail is actually attached to his shoulder a bit. So it actually keeps it solid too. He's actually a really nice miniature and he looks cool with it. Once his crossbow is up and pointed, he actually has a cool look to him. I'm pretty happy with that one. I think we're actually getting another one of those in our wave two of Star Saga because we got the two mercenary packs and, he should be coming that. So we'll have another Edic Pamir. So you could play with one too.
And we used a Dreadball one, I believe. Moved up to turn them to Dead Zone, which basically anything you have Dreadball, you just cut the base off, put a gun in its hand, and you're good to go. All of them, every Dreadball miniature you have.
Oh yeah, definitely just defile them and make them into. That one's for Jeff.
That was for Jeff. I know. I can see. Again, there's a cold chill going down his back.
Yeah, Jeff Burbage, he got mad at us for, to chairing up our sphere team, so.
Yeah.
I also got a Thorgrim team because we didn't have them. And they're steel warriors that they put new heads and hammers in their hands, two-handed hammers. And a lot of people complained about these guys. The, bodies are plastic because they're just the steel warriors, but all the weapons are metal. And a lot of people had issues with, putting these guys together. But our good friend Coach, he's the man. He, long time ago, I think we were talking about, I think we might have been doing our, test of honor samurais. And he's like, you just do a teeny little ball of green stuff, stick it in their shoulder, and then you put the glue on both sides, and then that'll hold their arm in place as the glue dries. That, and you can manipulate it a bit, and it'll stay. That is the smartest thing ever. I'll never have an issue with putting two hands together again because of that. So these guys turned out great for me. And once again, I painted them up. I went with a, almost like a Tron, like they're blue with like really light blue highlights. And I think they turned out pretty cool. But, yes, Coach is the smarty who thought of the, green stuff to hold in their shoulders. And anybody who complains about these models, just do that. Any kind of putty, but a teeny little bit in their shoulder. And that's all you have to do. So that is a bit of a unboxing for everyone and plus a kind of our stuff because we did show off some of the stuff we did, but we'll have more our stuff or we should just do it now, Jack.
What other our stuff is there?
You did nothing, I guess. You haven't done anything yet lately?
Nothing.
I guess the only other thing I did other than those guys, because I was the, we got those bits from, you were just talking about from Puppets War. And as a test miniature, we got jetpacks that were like, they got like, they're not even jetpacks. They got wings and they have like, fans. Plus I had a skull helmet. So I put that on a Pathfinder. And I think he turned out really cool. He's a skull-faced, winged pathfinder.
So a little kit bashing. That's what you've been up to.
Yes. Other than my Thorgrim, like I said, what I did with the blue highlights to give him a Tron-like look. And my whatever that guy is, the other dwarf, I did him in a bronzish color. So I think they turned out pretty good. But I do like the Puppets Wars. If you want to add some zazz to your characters, that's what I did my Marauders in with the gas masks. And like Jack said, he used a pauldron. Which is the symbol on the pauldron used?
A squid of some sort. It's or an octopus. It's an octopus.
Yes, an octopi. So, yeah. And they have a bunch of different pauldron or shoulder pads, because obviously it's for 40K. Everything has shoulder pads at 40K, but they really work for the dwarves and for the enforcers especially. And yeah, they have a bunch of other stuff too. And I love the idea of bits, and I think I'll be getting more of those when I have something to do. Right now, I don't have any. We're done all the forces. That's the problem, and there's no other new sets that we're doing. So
I've got two boxes of Nameless here that say otherwise.
Yeah, but the Nameless, you're not going to change their heads out.
No. I'm just saying that we do have some forces to do. And I promise next hour stuff, there I will have some stuff done. The temperature's dropping. If I can get a bunch of stuff primed up, and we haven't done a hobby hangout with the usual gang of idiots in a while, so.
Yeah, it's been a quiet time. Everybody's been so busy. Like, Coach is coaching again back at school. Pat's been running around trying to get – he's doing extra hours after Gen Con, so he's got to pay for all the stuff he bought. And, once again, Brian Novak's he's doing teachings at night school and stuff, and Rick is busy with everything, and we just – all our regulars, we're just too busy.
Yes, but that will change. Once the snow starts building up, we'll be able to, get all snuggled in, get the paint, and get back to –
We say this every year, and we actually don't get much done.
Oh, I don't know. Last year we were pretty prolific.
Yeah, that was like, I think it was it just after Gen or after Adepticon maybe that we all went crazy and we're hanging out like every night.
There's a before Gen Con rush where everyone hangs out and does their painting, and then the after when we start missing our pals, like when you're like,
at Adepticon,
Paul, he's awesome. I wonder what he's up to. You know.
Yeah. So we'll hopefully get into that again. Do some more hangouts, and Coach and I went on Discord, I don't know, last Saturday, and we're gonna do a patron hangout with his guys, and nobody was there, nobody was around. We're like, oh, I guess it's just us. So yeah, hopefully people come around, join the Family Gamers 777 Discord channel. We hang out in there a lot. Even that's been quiet. Like, I think a lot of people are just busy right now.
Yeah.
We'll take another break, and we'll come back with shout-outs.
This is Rob P. from Countercharge, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. This is Rob.
That was
Enough.
Terrible.
I know.
That was terrible.
All right. Hang on. That was the vanilla one. I'm going to do the exciting ones now.
It is shout-outs time.
And welcome back. We're doing some shout-outs, as Wintergreen said. And this time, we're going to start with Captain America himself, Chris Evans. I wonder if people get annoyed when we call out who their namesake is.
I've thought about that. I'm prone to saying things for the sake of comedy that I think are funny. As you know, as the driving force behind our comedy stylings, I can get a little crazy, and there's sometimes I'm like, you know what? They probably heard it 100 times.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chris. We should just appreciate what you've done with these battle system, or sorry, terrain crate. I almost got the wrong name. These the old sets here. He made a huge fortress, and it looks awesome. Like, this is something that, as a kid, if I had this, my G.I. Joes would be running all around this and fighting, and it'd be awesome.
It's funny you say G.I. Joe's, because when you look at the front of it, it looks like the G.I. Joe fortress.
Yeah.
Remember,
I had that.
Yeah, it's called, but
yeah, I don't. Did it have a name? I think it was just called the Command Center or something. Yeah, that's this really reminded me of that. And it's pretty much a fort. You got the two big buildings in the like as keeps, I guess, with a big gate in the middle, and it's a big inner courtyard you can fight off your alien invaders from. It's got two gun emplacements in the front, and most importantly, it has a control room with a TARDIS control panel. So we have the TARDIS on every single one of our boards, but this guy has got the control panel. This whole thing travels through time.
So you're saying this train crate looks bigger on the inside?
It does. But pretty good detail. Like, that's way more detail than you need, but it's something I appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
And he painted up. It's pretty much just great, but I like the little accents. He put, like, where the doors open, he put the warning stripes. And the guns have the, like, muzzle stuff, the muzzle flashes on them. Little highlights here and there is all you have to do. It's a big project. And then he weathered the hell out of it, which is nice too. All the tops look all dusty and yeah, really good job. And in the interior, he even has has little monitors everywhere and a big screen showing a topographical map. Like, that's really, really detailed stuff. And, it was amazing. When I saw it, I was like, wow, I wish I had this. We had a use for this because this is a Dead Zone board in itself. You could fight around this thing. It's really, I think, for Warpath, because there's, other than playing Dead Zone inside of this, there's no real reason to ever have this.
And understandably, it would be a great place to, like, as a board to play in, amazing. But as a person, as a homeowner, I'm thinking, okay, how modular is it? How do you pack? Where does that go? Where do you pack? Because it is giant.
I would hope that the big buildings and the ring around it come apart, but you never know. Might have just glued it all together. He does have it on a dedicated board, it looks like, of some sort. So whole thing might just lift up. And next we have our Vampire Hunter, Caradrim. He's done some mods up on his Nameless. And this is something that makes what are they called? What are the needle drones? Is that what they're called? The flyers? The needle drones usually have a big fin across the top. I always thought they had two wings, but they only have one fin, not even a wing. And Caradrim, like I, thought they looked better with wings. So he made his own wings to put on these things, including clear plastic, like gossamer wing parts. He did it with blue green stuff, and I think it's really nice.
Yeah, I'm stunned at how good they look. And I thought he had purchased them somewhere because they looked so good. And when I looked at when I'm looking at the pictures now, you can see they're constructed with green stuff and possibly some plastic that he's etched. Either way, it looks like dragonfly wings. Like, that's amazing. He had to reconstruct the whole back out of green stuff because he cut the fin off. So just the work to go into making one of these is outstanding. He always impresses me with his craftsmanship. But this is really nice.
Yeah, the problem is, when you do one, you have to do how many needle drones you're going to have in your army. Probably quite a few.
Yeah, or for whenever he's making a list, he goes, I'd like a couple. No.
Just one.
Just one.
Yeah, but I do like it a lot. That's what they should look like. Although you could never do the clear wings like that. They'd be plastic wings. So this looks even better than they could ever do. Manta couldn't do this, frankly.
No. That's that there is a specifically like that. That's not something mass produced. That's some craftsmanship there.
And he also did some Teratons. He did a couple of I think they're modded up Dreadball Teratons, the smaller versions. Or actually, they might even be the what's the new Dead Zone Teraton? Shock Troopers. I think they're Shock Troopers, but with different arms and. Yeah, and big shoulder pads. It looks like he got some of the they look similar to. I think he's got two parts because the bottom of the shoulder pad is from the Strider, and the top is from something else, isn't it? Or is that a Strider bit that we never used?
Yeah, it's a Strider bit as well.
Yeah. So he made the Shock Troopers really unique and cool looking, and he gave him one with a huge blade on his arm, which I like. Yeah. Once again, Caradrim doing amazing modding up stuff, and if you know me. You know that I love the mods, so please, people, send us more of this stuff, because this is what I like looking at.
Yes. And now I need to know, Nicodemus, how are you going to prime? Are you going to mask off the clear bits? And
oh, on the flyer, yeah.
Because you've already got it on the flight base. So are you going to brush on your primer? I've got questions.
And we don't have answers.
No, not yet.
Yes. Next is our buddy Shane Neural. He did the coolest thing I've ever seen, I think. He got the in Star Saga, you get these like tubes that are supposed to have specimens in them, but they're just one solid piece of plastic. He cut the top and the bottom off and put in a do you remember what kind of plastic? He used some kind of tube. It might have been a pill bottle or something like that in between to create actually clear specimen tubes. And then some of them are broken open with goo everywhere, and some are have the goo seeping out, and he puts zombies inside of the tubes that look like they're the specimens. It is such a good idea, and man, it's disgusting and it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm begging you to go to the website, watch on YouTube, take a look at he suspended miniatures in resin inside these specimen tubes, but some of them are the tubes are smashed and just amazing. You know, it's one of those things that, like, you think in your mind, oh, okay, this is what I want to do. And sometimes the actual doing of it, you just don't.
Never turns out the way you want it to, yeah.
Yeah, you just can't get it to realize in its physical form what you have in your mind. Some of these are, like, exactly what I reckon. Mm-hmm. Like, in my mind's eye, if I was thinking what would be the most awesome version of a homemade, like, if you were to do, and I look down and go, oh, that's it. It's realized, fully realized, my mind right there.
Even with the resin, he has like a little green tint to the resin that the zombies are in, or the, I don't know if they're zombies or the plague victims from Star Saga, but they're, you could really screw it up really quickly and not be able to see them, but you can see them perfectly through the glass. Like, and they just look like they're suspended in this glass. It is such well done. And if you go to Discord, once again, to FamilyGamers777 Discord, and you look back through the project blog there, you can actually see how he did it. He shows from step one how to do these. And we should get him to post that up on either our site or somewhere. Maybe I'll talk to Shane. Maybe we can get him to put that somewhere else, because it will get lost on the Discord because it'll just be in the flow. We'll actually get him to send the pictures maybe. We'll show it up. Hopefully I'll get him and get him to do it on our Facebook page. So check out Dead Zone the Podcast Facebook page, and hopefully I'll have talked to him, and hopefully he will have responded.
Yeah. I miss Shane.
I miss Shane too. Next is Marjan Bierhoff. Marjan Bierhoff? Marjan? Sorry about your name. We screw up our own name, so.
Yeah, we apologize in advance if that's not...
And the only reason we got the other names right is because we've talked to these people.
right.
He did some Asterians, and Asterians can be kind of boring, I think, in their colors, and even their designs are kind of boring. He did something with this group. He put some colors in, and he used some metallic blues and stuff to give them a shiny, like, what is it called? Adonized armor. And, this is a, what are the leaders called with the swords? I can never remember. Anyways, he's got the big saber, and it's all green, and he's got red and yellow highlights on him. And he did the next one in a kind of bronzy, similar but bronzy color for his Black Talon, I believe that thing is.
And he's got shoulder pads, decorative bases and everything. This is one of those things that when the Asterians first came out, and we were as guilty as anyone. Everyone had an idea what they were going to look like, and everyone kind of did the same thing, a metallic silver. Ours are lived in. Ours are pretty rusty and kind of like we did what we do. But lately, and I mean lately, for a while now, people have then said, okay, that's been done. And this is what happens when you go, okay, I'm not going to do like a Cylon. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. And this is these are pieces of really well done.
This is literally the best painted Asterian force I've ever seen.
Yeah, it could be.
And he has his whole force here. He's done some different versions of the, he did some head swaps for his, Starion's, Khaleesi. And he also got the Survivor and, Wrath. And is that Wrath? No, it's the other one. Is it Wrath? Maybe it is Wrath. No, it's the tentacle guy. I can't, Oberon. That's Oberon. He did them too here, but I like the Khaleesi. They're very different too. He did a little naked for me, but, he still did different versions of them. And I like that. And this force is awesome. He did a Sky Razor. And, like I say, best Asterion force I've ever seen. This is what to beat right here.
Yeah. And the more you look, you see the basic techniques and then you see the impressive ones. Cause I think a lot of that is not, non-metallic, metallics. There's metallics, but there's some of it is non-metallic metallics. And then there's object source lighting. And then those bases are just gorgeous. Like,
yeah. Yeah, they're like bricks and bushes and rocks, but it all looks very real and very, like, sometimes it can be a little static. It's like, oh, he's stepping around it, but this is like, he stepped there and that's where he stepped, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Very well done. Next we have Craig Sniffen, and he did some industrial terrain, and he did a like, almost like a shack. It's like a... He did the classic yellow for industrial terrain and rusted the hell out of it. Once again, I think it's for Warpath because he put it on its own base and he used a pipe. And then on the other side, he did it like a rolling door, like a garage door, which is not, that's all handmade. And he probably used cardboard, I would assume. That's how you get
it. I assume so.
But it really nice looking. And he went crazy with the rust, but I really like the how it turned out. And once again, I like seeing, this old, the battle system stuff. Battle system? What is that called? It's been so long.
You're so old and out of touch. You sound like a grandpa asking how do I use the Googles? It's terrain now.
Yeah. Terrain crate stuff. And he, even how the pipe goes through the roof and is inside also, like that's a nice little touch. And he even did some stairs on the inside that goes to a hatch, like, really, really well thought out and just a little teeny building, but really nice.
To me, it looks like the beginnings of a diorama. It looks like that's what the effort you put into diorama, not a playable game piece.
Yeah. Next, we have Sam Graven, and he did a Nameless. But I like this Nameless because it's a little pastel-y almost. You've seen so much of the realistic crab. You've seen so much of the really disgusting Martin Thurwell stuff. But I like this because it's kind of like pastel-y. There's some very muted colors, but bright colors. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it looks like nature, like what we assume like an aquatic creature would look like. But then it's got the bright, the warning colors that nature says don't touch. Venomous. You know, it's got that nice combination of just muted, earthy tones, and then pow.
Yeah, and even the way he did the crustaceans on the ogres, like, that looks really disgusting when you look at it really closely. It looks like, actually, crab. Like, not healthy crabs.
Like, I've really got to say, the Nameless, for being game pieces for a board game, which is their original and probably their most used function is going to be the detail on the ogres. Everything is a nice like level of detail for a board game piece that you don't expect.
Yeah, it's since they come in that colored plastic, you kind of look at them like, oh, they're not great until you put paint on them, and then you can see where the details really do pop and how it is crusty and different textures to them, which is not what you'd expect for a game piece. So yeah. Like how the armor is a different texture from the tentacles, and I think they got that quality down really well. So next is a work in progress by Kyle Underwood. Kyle's doing his plague, but he's gone green stuff crazy, and he's started really making disgusting things. Like this first one is a stage 2, I would assume, and his mouth is like open maw, like it looks like something that from the movie The Thing.
It does.
And, it is pretty disgusting. And I can't wait to see these painted up. He also did I think it's a stage 1, maybe, with a different face to him. And then he goes really crazy. He goes into some bursters with, what do you call them, Jack? Bubos?
Bubos, yes. But beyond that, like, there's, I don't know. It's got like an anime.
Yeah, Akira feel with the one arm's huge and the other arm's not. And there's like tentacles, not tentacles, but like pseudopods coming off of everything. But
it looks like it's in motion. He's really captured the like it's dynamic in the fact that it looks like they would be a slithering, weaving, organic grossness.
Yeah, really well done. Some nice green stuff. He also had some painted stuff. He did a Plague Strider, which is, it looks like it was destroyed and the plague took it over. The front is all bent up. There's blood everywhere. There's rust everywhere. And he put a big drill on it and a flamer. I like the idea of throwing a big drill on the Plague Strider. But that's really nice paint job there. How do you think, Jack? Do you think he went bloody enough in the cockpit?
Yeah, I think I spoke to him about this very model, and I said that all you'd have to do is hose out the original occupant, because it does look like whoever the original pilot was, that they didn't survive. We send the widower a corsage and go on with our lives. And yeah, it's messy. It's gross. I like it. Like, I like his bases too. He went with a theme with his bases. They all kind of have the industrial look to them.
Yeah, they look like what is it, diamond grating or whatever?
Yeah, not wild, but certainly an industrial functional base.
Yeah, and he has some of his stuff painted up. You can see some of the creatures, like all of them, he's put green stuff on. The dogs have liquor tongues, big tongues coming out. His stage one has tentacles coming out of his hands. He does have one of his Bubos guys there. Like a really nice addition. He really went, you know what? These plague aren't plagued up enough.
I'm not feeling the oogie gross feeling that I should be. I need to really step it up with the grossness.
And he did do like a realistic bone sort of. And then he, did like pink highlights and then pink stuff, tentacles, pink. Like he kept the pink, but he toned it down and only put it in the spots it should be, I think. So it still looks like it's your insides coming out, but it's not so bubblegum.
Yeah. I think the originals were pink and everyone kind of is infatuated with that. But this is like, okay, I'm going to make it my own.
And even the stage threes, he's got like tumors on them and stuff, like in their heads or on their shoulders that are just pink and bright and icky. It's really icky. Really well done. And I do love the dogs. He's got four different dogs, and they all have different looks. They all look different. Some have stuff covering their eyes. The one's got a big liquor tongue. Yeah. Tumors everywhere. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Yes.
And then to go completely different from that, we have Boston Miniatures. He did a stage one. Or no, sorry, this is an aberration.
Yes.
And it is purple and white and everything in between, dark blues. And it's amazing. He does really well. He's a really good painter. Like, it's amazing as always. I just thought the stark colors in this is so different that I had to, highlight it. And it looks almost radioactive, I think. Even the ground, it looks like it's been scored by his presence.
To me, it looks like it's a sea creature. Like, even the ground, it looks like a sea anemone or some coral. It looks like coral. That's just the vibe I'm getting with those vibrant colors, and just it's as if there should be a fish swimming in and around him.
Yeah, he's very cool though. Really well done. Shows off the aberration in all its glory. Then we have Torsten Kosters, one of the two. He did some of the Nameless. The first one's a Keratid, and it's all very bright. Greens and yellows with yellow highlights. And then, but look at his proboscis. That is realistic and horribly disgusting.
The greens and yellows, his keratin looks just like how I painted up my Zor, Zor team. But man, is it, like just vibrant, and everything he did kind of has like a bioluminescence to it.
Yeah. Yep, his next one, he did these inkers, right?
Yes.
And they have blue on their backs, but then these little dots of yellow everywhere, which I think is really neat in their maw, just to add a little bit of a different feel to them. Like that's the kind of stuff they'd be squirting out at you. I also like the different textures he gets too. He obviously uses clear coats in different ways, either matte or bright. Because even the next one is the assassin, and his whole armor is nice and matte, and then his claws and his face and everything are like almost glistening.
Right, The armor or whatever, the clothing is muted, but his physical form, his carapace is wet, is slick.
Yeah, I really like that look. I really like the assassin he did here. And he also did the Basimite, once again in bright colors, this one more green. And he did it rearing up like the Mantic way, which is
different than the Mantic way. The Mantic, the one that they had showcased looked like it had taken a corner too quickly on a low.
Yeah, he had a little bit of cockeyed. This guy looks like he's rearing up to attack.
I'm 100% behind this. This is modeling for a dynamic pose, that I appreciate. This looks like I would expect. But it adds a little height because the Basimite's not as big as I had anticipated.
No, he's actually quite small. Yeah,
when he's down on all fours, he's almost not. It's I'm not gonna say disappointing. It doesn't have that flair. This guy rearing up with the claws and stuff, adding like puffed up. This will add a little more menace to him.
Yep. And I don't know if he used glow-in-the-dark paint, but look at his belly, how it's got the blues and the yellows. It looks like it's glowing. Luminescent, like bioluminescent. It's really well done. And lastly, he did the gunslinger. No, rifleman. Rifleman. This is a rifle. See, I'm getting used to these names. This is a rifleman. And he did the armor once again muted, and then all the tentacles. He did that a little more, squidgy. And I think he looks really nice. I like the different contrast between the green and the purple and the blues. And the weapon's a weird color. I like that too.
And it's glowing as well. Like it's got a little bit of a, but really, all told, as a strike team, like put together, they all have, they're all vastly different, but all
the same. Together. Like
there's a theme. It's not like you put them down. Like sometimes when you paint a whole strike force of Asterians or something, they all go, okay, they all blend in together.
Yeah, these guys, you can tell which one's which for sure.
Yeah.
And, like Nameless are coming out hot and heavy to us now. So we're getting a lot of different ones and I like the variety. And Sam T.G. Law is the next one. He did the Goliath, the big boy, and he went crazy on this thing because it's like a green base, but then he did like a metallic beard and shell on him, like almost like a opal, and then the purple tentacles,
like the carapace of a scarab beetle or something that's got that pearlescent look to it, and then that contrast with what looks like just a green gooey center,
with the purple tentacles, really cool. I once again, it's these Nameless. We're getting all different types of Nameless and all these different interpretations, and I love it. Like, this is the Nameless, I guess, it so far has been the most unique faction of color schemes. I don't know if I've seen too many that, like, at the beginning you started seeing, like, the Mantic versions, but now we're getting a lot of variety in these guys.
Now, do you think it's because, Mantic has really blown up as a, like, awareness and people buying? When we started, you know, there wasn't that many people with that original first set painting up. You know, Mantic has lured in a huge customer base now. I'm not going to say huge, a large customer base now.
Well, so, especially with the Nameless because they're Star Saga too, right? So they got two games supporting them. So you're not just Dead Zone players. You're not just Star Saga players. You get both. So I think it is getting that kind of, especially at Gen Con, there were so many people who had no idea about miniatures. And a lot of people bought the Star Saga set, and a lot of people have like the Dungeon Saga stuff that aren't miniature players. These are board game players or role players. And I think those kind of people are putting their ideas into this stuff. So it's very, the paint that's like the quality of paint job might be great, but the creativity behind it, I think, is very interesting. Like, you might not get everybody painting like Boston Miniatures, but I think the variety is nice.
Yeah, I think with the customer base expanding like it is, mm-hmm. I think you're going to get more people from around the world with different insights and different – certainly the Nameless, we're seeing a bigger variety of paint jobs than we did – any step of the way for the last 5 years. Like, so, you know, and that's great. I'm glad. Please send in your stuff. Mm-hmm. We appreciate the hard work. We look at it and we enjoy seeing it and we like sharing it. Hopefully yeah. we're a part of that. Hopefully when you're listening here and you're like, I got to see what they're talking about. Or if you're yeah. watching on the YouTube and you're looking going, oh my God, this is what you can do. This is what those Mantic models, if you put the time in, this is what they can be, expanding your horizons. That's great. Thank you, everyone who sent in your stuff, and it is fantastic. Thank you.
Yep. Send it either into deadzonepodcast@gmail.com or post it on either Dead Zone the Podcast page or even put it out in any of the Facebook page, Dead Zone Fanatics or Star Saga Fanatics, any of those pages. I scour them all for this stuff. And I think that's, fun. Like, we may not do battle reports. We don't really go to tournaments. We don't talk about that kind of stuff, but showing off other people's stuff, I think that's something we can do for the community. And I'm glad to be still doing it. It kind of revitalizes my love of miniatures. You kind of get bored after a while, but after seeing other people's stuff, you're like, oh yeah, this is fun. Oh, I can try that. Or, oh, that gives me an idea for something else, you know? Yeah. And I really like that. I think that might wrap up this episode. We actually might have even gone long, Jack.
Ooh, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. When it's all said and done, it'll be 1 hour on the dot, even with, yeah.
Even if it's an hour and a half.
No, it won't be. It won't even be close to that.
Well, thank you all for listening. This has been Dead Zone, the podcast. Like I said, the team building exercise, we were supposed to have Veerman last month, but we'll have the real version hopefully up this month. And we'll get back on schedule. It was a Skype / a Malto recording snafu. We lost. Well, you could listen to the whole podcast, just me talking to nobody. It makes me sound like a psycho because just answering questions that aren't there.
But, it was comedy gold too. You can't recreate.
Well, we'll talk about it on the live show. Listen to the live show. Dead Zone TV, DZTV. It's on Dead Zone the podcast on Facebook, not Facebook, YouTube. And, listen to us reminisce. Like I said in the description, it won't be the Outbreak Veerman list. It's just a tribute. It's not the greatest episode ever. It was such a good episode.
It was
heartbreaking. Anyways, we'll be back for number 90. We're marching towards 100. Number 90 nice. Will be for November. I'm sure we'll think of something to talk about by then. So we'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
I've been holding that in for a while.